This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I have been an overachiever since 1995. I just remember a moment in my childhood where I decided I was going to just go for it and be an A-plus student and get all the accolades and be president of every club. It has been a 25-year ambition experience for me of chasing all my dreams and seeing how much marrow I could suck out of life. I was 27 when I had our first child. I still had so many things professionally that I was burning to do. And I really grew my career alongside growing my family. But I stepped down from running Motherly full-time a few years ago. And I've been able to be present in my day-to-day life, in the quiet moments of parenthood, in a way that honestly, I just wasn't in new motherhood. I just became a new mom again this year. I have a little baby, and it is such a gift to be able to approach new motherhood with maybe wiser eyes and more experience, and just being able to slow down in a way that I hadn't before. I think family life and work life for mothers is such a dance, but wherever you are in the turn of that dance, it's okay. I hope today's conversation could be an invitation for you to reflect and maybe re-examine, am I in the balance that I want for my life? We beat ourselves up for not getting it perfect and not getting that balance right. We have to be gracious and kind to ourselves as we all navigate what it means to prioritize ourselves, our professional ambitions, and the love and responsibility of raising little humans. Hey, Mama, welcome to the Motherly Podcast, where we have honest conversations about modern motherhood. I am Liz Tennedy. I'm a co-founder at Motherly, and I'm also a mother of five myself. Today, we're sharing a conversation that I had with Amber Venzbox. Amber is the founder and CEO of LTK, an app that has revolutionized the online shopping industry by connecting brands and creators and helping creators monetize their businesses. We cover so much ground in this conversation, from the way that moms are utilizing LTK to the future of the influencer economy, and also some really great style tips for busy moms. I was definitely taking notes. Amber also shares the story of building her company and the practices that she's learned along the way about how to protect and prioritize her family's time while also managing a growing business. Amber Venzbox, we are so excited to have you. I always want to ask my guests about their motherhood journeys. So, what surprised you about motherhood when you became a mom for the first time?
Well, I really thought that having a child would mean that I basically had an extra handbag. I had this idea in my mind that it was like, I have my computer bag and I'm going to have this little carrier and she's going to go everywhere with me and life will like pretty much be the same, except I get this like little bundle of joy along the way. And obviously when she came, I did take her everywhere, but I took my mom everywhere too. So thank you, mother, for making that possible. But it wasn't quite as easy as just a handbag. All the needs of a child, and they intimately need you. I was used to working around the clock, definitely married to my husband, but probably more at the time married to my job. And so learning about a child up through the first year And then she starts having an actual bedtime at, say, 6 o'clock. And I was like, wow, if I don't get home by 5, then I'm actually not going to see her at all today. So I'm going to have to quit work at 4:30 actually to get home by 5 to see her for an hour. And that was pretty radical for someone who'd been working till 8 o'clock at night. It made me sort of reconfigure my entire life and lifestyle around her, not just nights, but also weekends.
That is such a relatable transition. I love how you said you thought it'd be like an extra handbag or like an extra accessory in your life. Perfectly said for someone with your expertise in industry. I felt so similarly. I thought, well, I've done a lot of hard things and this will be another hard thing. I didn't realize my life was going to take a 180 and my own self-understanding would shift as well. So I'm super curious, always in the podcast, about the intersection of our guests' professional lives and their motherhood. So tell us more about how your own transformation of understanding of what it takes to be the mom you want to be and just be present in your daughter's life. How did that shape your approach to growing your business? And also, how did what you experienced up to that point, growing this incredibly fast-growing company, how did that shape lessons you may have taken into motherhood?
It was honestly the biggest blessing to my career because previously, anything that I could do, I would do. Anything that I could micromanage. I also didn't have an assistant. It felt greedy to me somehow to have an assistant doing work for me. And so by the time I had my daughter, my team actually came to me and said, will you please get an assistant? And I was like, oh, I felt like that was going to be so like rude or stuck up or something, to be so self-important that I would need that. I actually didn't understand that if you can sort of body double that you actually get more done at work. I didn't understand that philosophy. And so with Birdie, I had to start prioritizing. I couldn't actually just do everything that I wanted to touch throughout the day. And then I had a mentor share with me that if someone could do something 80% as well as him or her, that you should let them do that thing. And that's how you essentially can get leverage in your business. I brought it down. It's 60% I actually delegate. And so it was like first prioritization of my day and time. What am I going to actually get done? Then it was this sort of learning to delegate piece that was really all forced by my daughter. You stop having time or tolerance for the garbage and noise that fills your day in life. And whether that's professional or personal, suddenly you see through the murky water and you're like, yes, no, yes, no. And so having her was a tremendous growing point in my life professionally and personally.
I feel like we could do the entire podcast episode just about time management lessons for those of us who are not CEOs of some of the largest businesses in America like you are, because there is so much wisdom in being, I want to say selfish, I don't mean it in a negative sense, but like radical about how we think about our time in general, certainly at work, but how we choose to show up in our families and for ourselves as well. Any insights or lessons there about time management for busy moms?
Yes. And I love what you just said about the being selfish. So this is something I've been personally grappling with in the last couple of years. And that is, I am a pleaser, which means that I say yes more than I should. I really care about other people's happiness more than my own. I think within the last year, my dad said, when you say yes to one thing, you say no to something else. And you should always know what you are saying no to. I started thinking about the no of what is on the other side of this yes. And so what is the cost to this yes? And that allowed me to have tremendous clarity in the things that I say yes and no to. And it's actually led to us moving 8 hours away from home to a really, really tiny town so that I could have the space to spend time with and build relationship with my little family.
Let's go back in time and then we'll get back up to speed on where you are today. What did you think your career was going to be like?
I wanted to work in fashion. I really wanted to be a magazine editor. So I would write into Mary-Kate Steinmiller, who was an editor at Teen Vogue. And I was like, I've read all your articles and I want to work for you. And this was around the time of The Hills too and The City. And so you got to see a peek into girls who are like a year older than me. So like Lauren Conrad and Whitney Port, and they worked in a closet or they did some assistant work. So I applied for all of those jobs. And when that didn't work out, I started my own magazine through my blog. And that was in April of 2010. And it was under the same guise of, I'm going to curate the shopping world. I'm going to build a community of people who like what I like.
So that was 2010. What was the insight that led to the launch of your business?
So at the time I was doing personal shopping, I would have customers, maybe they're going on a trip or maybe they just want to get dressed for the season, fall. I would go around to different stores in town and collect pieces for them that would build out that wardrobe or that outfit, bring it into their home, style them, swap any sizes for them, go run their credit card. It was a very manual offline process, but I loved it. I loved the people I worked with that I got to basically go shopping on their dime and live vicariously through them. I started a blog to market that business because I thought it might seem daunting, right? To like hire a personal shopper. So what if I just show people all of my clients, like what they're wearing, and they can see my point of view, and then they'd be more interested in booking me. I learned within about 6 months of launching the blog that people always will move to whatever is like the least friction or the most convenient. And my existing clients just started becoming blog readers and buyers and shoppers. So that was the origination of LTK, was how do we modernize this offline business that I have so that I can still do what I love, but make money when I sell things online.
All right. So explain what LTK is. I'm sure every listener has encountered you on the internet, but in case you're not really sure about how it works, what is LTK?
LTK is for creators. It's a monetization platform. So we provide them with e-commerce software that allows them to build their own storefront, to work with brands, to provide a great shopping experience to their customer. There's three sides of our business. So we have the creator side where that we're helping them to monetize and provide this amazing shopping and community experience. On the brand side, we're helping brands to find the right creators to storytell about their products and integrate them into their lives with the audiences who would care about those products. And then on the shopper side, we want to provide shoppers with just a world-class shopping experience. I think that shopping from a creator can be more meaningful and enriching. If you, for example, like my jacket, and I'm telling you about my jacket, when you buy it and wear it, you're thinking about your relationship with me. And therefore, it makes this jacket more meaningful than just it's cute. And this all started through our mission, which is still the same today, of how do we make creators as economically successful as possible. At the time when we launched this business, I had cut myself out of my personal shopping business by offering services for free online. And so my goal was like, hey, how do me and my friends move out of our parents' houses and basically be mini fashion editors? And that vision, I think, is still very true today. It's just we've broadened what's possible within that viewpoint.
For those people who are listening and not as aware of the e-commerce ecosystem, the affiliate and creator ecosystem, how do people, yourself included, the company LTK and your creators, just tell us the 101 version, how people make money through your platform?
It's modernized retail. So for example, think about if you walk into the mall today, you go to a big box store of your choice and you ask them where the horseshoe denim is. When that person says, we have three of those, and actually this one's the best one that people like the most, and it's the greatest value. That person who checks you out at the cash register gets a commission on your sale. These business models have existed for all of time. And so what we've done is say, hey, you don't actually have to work at store A, B, C, or D. You can actually work with all of those stores and have access to all products. And then you can share them with your customers. And if they actually like that product, they buy it, they keep it, that store will pay you a commission. If you want to wake up today and talk about your favorite keto bark because of your new diet, you can do that. If you like to talk about loafers at all price points, you can do that too. Our creators have access to every product on the internet. And so that optionality allows them to curate the best for their customers and be really your online shopping guide.
Thank you for explaining that. Specifically for the creator moms that are on your platform, what are you seeing is really working in terms of both the kinds of products that their audiences are interested in and what is helping individual mom influencers, as they're often called, to build small businesses of their own and sometimes large businesses?
Mothers do very, very well on our platform because they're talking about very practical things, whether it's more practical clothes or hacks to get your kids to eat the XYZ thing or rollers for the bottom of your coffee maker so that you don't have to drag it out every single time you're refilling the water. It's just simple stuff that people can relate to that truly make your life better and easier and at a great kind of family value. So we see that our creators do well. And I would say that really it's all built on trust and relatability.
How have you decided to navigate what you share and what you don't share about your family life and your kids on your very public profile and business?
It's a challenge and it's something that I'm willing to sharpen, edit, change, and 180, I think at any moment. Often when I post them, they're being funny. Like my little guy Boots, he has these bottle cap glasses. He's legally blind, but they're so cute. And he's always the life of the party. He's just a wild man. And it's sort of funny. So people love him and I share a lot of him and it makes me happy. I'll share my kids the first day of school and all of that. I've gotten some pushback certainly from people who are like, you're putting them in danger. I will say I try to do things strategically to not. I don't say where they go to school or what sports teams they're on. People don't know where we live. I don't, that's not published anywhere. I send things to a PO box. There's just all kinds of things that I'm doing to do what I can to put a bubble around them. But their faces are today on the internet. There's a mother in our community who actually works for Homeland Security Investigations, and she does a lot of human trafficking cases. And I just asked her, what do you think about this? And she was like, the things that I see, there could be literally someone in the tree at soccer practice is taking pictures of these kids. It's not necessarily that a mom put them on the internet. And so that made me feel better. But again, I don't know that I have the right answer or the right answer for every family. It's a work in progress.
I agree. I mean, as someone raising kids in the digital age, as my kids age up and as technology changes, I feel like I'm both negotiating it with my kids when they say, I don't want you to share that with anyone, with our family chat. I don't want you to put that picture of me on Instagram. So it's, for me, something I'm also very willing to look at again and reevaluate. So thank you for sharing how you've tried to make those decisions. I also want to talk about the influencer economy. And I know that this idea of influencers as well as mom influencers, they often get a bad rap. And certainly there's a lot of cultural criticism out there about it. I think there's a note of this industry helps to empower women who are making money on their own terms, owning their own small businesses. And it sometimes strikes me as anti-woman to suggest that it's a lesser career or that there's something bad or wrong about it. So I'm curious the kinds of criticisms that you may hear about the industry and how you answer them.
I get a lot of questions from people around like, do they get all this stuff for free? How much money do they make? I think it's one of the most challenging career paths out there, but is one of the most desired career paths out there because, you know, I think of gymnastics. You think of Simone Biles. She makes it look like anyone could just flip in the air 12 times and land it. She makes it look so easy. And the creators that you follow, they make it look so effortless and so easy to where it does feel approachable and like you could do it. But the thing is, there's an element of photography, of community building, of styling, of sourcing, and then also business acumen, skill sets that all need to come together in order for you to be successful in this space. It's just like any other business where most people in business would think that you would invest for a number of years and then start to expect maybe like a break even and then start to actually make money. And that's the same thing in the creator space. But most people aren't willing to wait a couple of years until it hits. It's not super easy. And I think the best people that you see out there doing it relate well to others, seem like a best friend that the person wants to have. I also want to caveat that an LTK creator is very different from a social only creator. And what I mean by that is their motivations are very different. So if you're a social only creator, then you need to game algorithms. You need to find virality versus an LTK creator who, if you order this jacket, if this shows up at your house and it's super wrinkled, won't even steam out, it smells weird, it came late, all of that, you're like, I don't trust Amber. Like she basically lied to me. And now I've got this problem of this thing that I bought into that I now have to return. You're not my customer anymore. So an LTK creator has to make sure that they truly are vetting the best, that they're giving their people the best experience because you are trying to win customers and then you have to keep that customer to keep their business going.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, you spotted the tsunami wave of influencer economy and got to be a huge source of the growth for sure. And then riding that wave as well yourself in the business. What do you see as the next turn of the influencer economy? What are you excited about? What do you think is around the corner?
Well, I'm tremendously excited for where we are right now in the history of our industry. And I'm going to take a minute to be a little bit techie for a second. But if you think about what has happened over this period, we've had really two solid generations of commerce. So you have the generation where we started, which is like, there's a shoe store that sells online. There is a boutique that sells online. Think about like the invent of Amazon. They were a bookstore. They came online in the 90s, right? And then Zappos, a shoe store, came online in the 90s. And then you started to see more multi-brand in the sense of Shopbop, a boutique, or like Net-a-Porter, luxury fashion. So there's that moment. And then there is this next generation that we've been living in, which is the Shopify generation. If you manufacture a product or if you want to sell something to people, then you can do it. So if everything is now available online, then it's impossible to go shopping online because how do you make these decisions? How do you comb through the junk? What we're now in is the third generation of commerce, and that is creator commerce. So think of like the creator as your retailer. They are the curator and the source of your discovery, your finds, your checkouts. And so when I think about this last 10 years of social media platforms, which is where the last generation has really launched and built their businesses, they used to be all about community and about opting into a person and following persons. And then we've seen this transformation, and especially in 2023, where I would just say from a creator perspective, these platforms quit on us. They no longer wanted to be community building platforms. They wanted to be entertainment platforms, recommendation services, advertising businesses. So now where do these creators go to build community, to talk with their audience, to share their stuff? And now in this generation, they actually have a platform that's purpose-built to do it. So they can still meet you on every social platform, entertain you in those spaces, but they can actually build a business that's not going to dissolve tomorrow or decide that it's going to change what it's doing. So that is very motivating to me.
So fascinating. Thank you for explaining all of it. I wish I had another hour just to talk to you about the business and the digital trends side. But you're also a super cool working mom who gets to see everyone's style, what people are wearing around the country, around the world. I'm wondering if you give our listeners a little bit of advice. I'm wearing a very sad beige sweater today. Like, help me. What advice do you have for moms? What cool ideas do you see to help us feel more put together, more like ourselves, even in the midst of, for both of us together, you and I both have 9 kids between us. Like, we are busier than we would ever need to be just taking care of our families, right? So are there any shortcuts, ideas, hacks, inspiration? How can I be a cool mom too?
Well, thank you so much, Liz. That was a huge compliment. I do love that I get to be around all that all day, every day. I think what I've grown into lately too is just, it's my age of comfort. Like, if I'm going to the school to see my kid or bring cupcakes, or if I'm going to soccer practice or whatever, it's weird for me to show up like I did at work, and that outfit doesn't work. But luckily, we're just in this age of comfort, but very cute comfort. So this is like the best time for moms. Okay, so a couple of things that I see trending right now. Monochromatic sweatsuits. There are so many brands that are making cool leisure sets. It's finding tennis shoes that sort of coordinate back with it. And what I've been doing is I've been buying my workout clothes, even though I don't really work out very much, just all in the same color family. I have found that that was a huge transition for me. I used to just buy the things I like. I love like a black legging or a black skirt, but then what do I put on top? And then it doesn't look like an outfit. It looks like my second grader who wears like crazy clothes to school and nothing goes together. So if you can actually just commit to a color family for your workout clothes, then they mix and match well together and you just look more put together. I find a really cute baseball hat is a great ticket. So obviously designers make them, all the way down to like, what's your favorite brand? And they've probably got something cool just on a very simple hat. It's kind of this quiet luxury look that Sofia Richie has kicked off for everyone. Socks are big right now, like even with loafers, with tennis shoes, socks.
Socks? Oh my gosh, I'm so out of the loop. Socks are big. Okay, got it. I'm taking notes.
Oh yes, guys, socks with your workout shoes over leggings, even with little loafers, socks are having a big moment right now. And then I would say find a pair of jeans, whatever style that it is that you like, that just looks great on you, and just keep going back to that pair. I do think you mentioned the sweater. I think H&M has some amazing sweaters. There's a company called And Other Stories that's a Swedish brand. It actually is H&M family, but it's like a little bit, quote, higher end. They have great cashmere and all kinds of stuff. You mentioned your simple sweater, but it's actually very cool. You can do that like back with your jeans. That's kind of like the cool mom wardrobe.
I love that. Oh my gosh, wait. Committing to the color family, that was great. Permission to wear a baseball hat, I needed that. I'm still questioning the socks thing, but I believe you. And I think you said my sweater is cool and I need a good pair of jeans. So that was phenomenal. 60 seconds there.
And here's like to round out the tip. If you go into the LTK app and literally search socks, and we'll show you how everyone's wearing socks, or go search baseball hat and you can literally see how they're doing. For example, I love a trench coat. I think it layers well, obviously, doesn't get dirty as much. I'll go in there and just search trench and see how all these people are styling it, wearing it, and get new ideas, because I think you can shop from your own closet with a lot of this stuff.
Any advice on other things beyond the clothes? My little tip is I use these DIY lashes, I guess. And now I wake up and I look alive. I haven't worn mascara in a year. And I keep trying to convert my sister to these lashes, but she doesn't have kids. And so she's like, I don't see the big deal. I'm happy to put on mascara. But for me, it's like life-changing because I feel great every morning that I wake up and look in the mirror. So any other ideas for moms who we're just busy. You want to feel good.
I have an era of a certain hairstyle. I just recently cut 18 inches off my hair. It was super, super long. What I love about this is I actually don't dry it. I put mousse in it and then I just part it and kind of pull my fingers back. And that's the thing. And we're done. I'm always so jealous of my husband. He just takes a shower and he looks better at the end of it. And I'm like, why does mine take 5 hours to get there? I finally feel like I have a haircut that does that. And so finding a good haircut that works for you. There's a lash. It's by a brand called Kiss. And this might be what you like. They're pre-stuck on lashes. And so you don't have to put the glue on them. It goes up underneath your lash. So even if you mess it up, you can't see the weird line on the top. I think those are amazing. If you have time to go get lash extensions done, that's nice because you just wake up and look great. I've also found that I care a lot more about my skin lately, just as I'm aging. And one of the biggest differences I notice is if my skin's actually really clean. I had a HydraFacial a couple years ago and I looked at the tube and it was like all this brown gunk. And I was like, wait, I cleaned my face before I came. You cleaned it when you got here. And then you did that. And all that brown stuff came out of my face. And the woman was telling me that all that little gritty dirt gets stuck in all your fine lines. It makes them look even worse. And like your face isn't glowy.
Amazing. I have so many great ideas now. Underlining HydraFacials on my to-do list because you look amazing. You're glowing. Love it. All right. Let's talk now about wellness. I've spent over a decade building this company. And we know what it's like to run a company and to be online 24/7 and just the fatigue that sets in. And so how have you navigated your own well-being, regulated your nervous system, and found space to be present in your life as a human and a mother in this attention economy that demands so much of you personally, but certainly distracts so many of us?
Well, I'll give you a brief history of that journey because really the last year has been profoundly different for me. So, of course, pandemic hits, you're working from home, everyone's working nonstop, at least on our team and our creators. At the end of 2021, we raised money, which basically meant that the whole back half of 2021 was spent in really high stakes, high stress meetings and events in like a really overwhelming way that takes over your life. Even with a positive outcome, it's still emotionally and physically taxing for yourself and your family. And by the end of 2021, then you have all the holiday parties and events, and you have a million kids too. They all have friends who all have parties and they all have birthday parties. And by the end of 2021, I was so deeply burnt out. I went to my girls' dinner and I was like, guys, I almost said no. I'm having a really hard time today. And if I don't talk, it's because I'm not doing well, but I just wanted to be here with you guys. And that New Year's Eve, we were here at the ranch and one of my friends was here and it was time to go back to Dallas. And I was just visibly down. And she was like, what's going on with you? Like, why do you feel this way? And I was like, I can't explain it. I just don't want to leave here. I need to be here. I needed to eject. I needed some space. I needed some downtime. I needed my discretionary time to not be for the birthday parties and the dinners and the lunches. I needed it to just be mine and therefore my time with my kids. And so we kind of put together a plan of how we would come out here. I had to take the radical step of ejecting socially in order to be able to say no to enough things to regain some of my time back. I also did something that I would recommend for everyone. I could tell that something was off in my body. And I had gone to my OB and she was like, nope, all the blood work's fine. My regular doctor's like, yeah, everything's fine. Then I went to a doctor and had them do just like a full battery of everything, including hormone testing. And they came back and they're like, oh, this one hormone is triple the high range of what it should be, which means you will be tired. Your hair will fall out. You will be overly stressed. You might have rage fits. And it was like going through this whole battery of stuff. And I felt relieved knowing that there was something that was causing me to feel off, but then also that the solution was actually supplements. I'm now just starting my second month of supplements. After my first month, my body is regulated again. I have an Oura ring that I wear that helped me to understand like what is stressing me out, what times of day am I stressed, like how am I sleeping, am I getting enough sleep? And I could very easily match like, oh, that was the night I had a glass of wine and I didn't sleep that night. I know now which things I can pinpoint to cut out. And I tell you guys all that because I feel like I have this like golden secret that I want everyone to know. I mean, obviously we all have stressors in our lives, but if it's hormonal, it can be fixed and not with necessarily a prescription. And I'm so grateful.
Any other tips for overstimulated mothers? How to kind of use motherhood, like time with our kids in ways that are more filling our cup rather than just draining our cups?
Gosh, so many. The first thing I always think about is being super intentional with your time so that you can then be very confident in the way that you're spending it. So I often would say yes to something that I didn't want to say yes to. And then the whole time I was there, I'd be thinking about how miserable I was because of the cost it was to me and my family and how I wasn't going to see my kids enough and all of these things. And so for me, I use a digital calendar, but you don't have to use a digital. You could have just like a physical planner on your desk. I do month view. And then I look at every single night of the week and I think of like, where is the balance or imbalance? How many nights are we committed? And this comes down to like, by the way, like flag football was two nights of practice and then another game on Saturdays in a town an hour away. And we were like, sorry, we're not going to do flag football. That costs our family too much. The no is a no to our family time and our time with our other children. So we said no. And that's a kind of a tough one because you want your kids to be on teams and all of that. So I basically look at the week and I'm like, how many nights are we committed? Am I comfortable with that? What's my night with my husband? So for us, it's Thursday nights. And by the way, I love a date day. So if you can do it while your kids are at school, that's so guilt-free. Take the day off of work because then you do it while you don't feel like you're like stealing from something else. So ours is on Thursday. And then with the kids, I try to leave room for whoever needs that in that moment. So we have four kids. Right now, I have a middle daughter who I would say like from a friendship perspective, sort of got left out a lot last week. So tonight we're doing a date. And so I have that space and time and like she's going to get the attention. And I'm going to try and get that back in balance. So what I'm saying is calendar everything and then be okay with what you did or take some things off. I think that that's a huge tip. I guess I'd say other tips. It's just taking care of yourself. When I feel really good about myself and whether that is because I got my hair colored and touched up or because I've like, yeah, got it together.
I love this point. No, this is such an important point because we live in a culture that is willing to sacrifice mothers and our well-being to exist. And so we have to take time back for ourselves. And I completely agree. You're so right. When we feel good, like when we have a cute dress on and we had a good day at work and we feel happy, what does Elle Woods say? Like happy people don't shoot their husbands. They just don't. I mean, you just show up better as a mom when you're feeling upbeat about yourself. So we have to do so much work both to push back on like the burdens that inevitably fall to mothers because we don't have affordable childcare and paid leave and the cultural expectations of motherhood are on us very, very heavy. So acknowledging that, but also hearing other ways that we can get that space for ourselves to fill our cups so that we are better moms than we're the moms that we want to be.
It's huge. And again, it goes back to almost 10 years ago when I was talking about the assistant thing and I felt so greedy or like I'm not important enough. But then that actually opened things up for my team in the same way this opens things up for my family, and even my husband. Because candidly, if I don't feel cute or well taken care of, I'm not as good of a, I'm just going to call it a girlfriend. Because I think the word girlfriend is when you're like, you're cute and you're fun and your best self and you're having fun with your partner. I would like to aim towards that. But if I feel not cute, my confidence is low and I don't feel like a cute, fun, flirty wife in that way.
That's a really good note. Thank you. So if you could give our listeners who are busy moms one last piece of advice, what would it be?
Use no as a tool for your success and the success of your family. I think that right now we live in a culture where we live in cities, we're entertained by events and things to do. And oftentimes I found myself in the past saying yes to 2 hours with someone that maybe I didn't have intentions to spend a lot more time with in my future, or wasn't someone I was looking to build a relationship with. And so that's an example. Or even for when it comes to family, like we're moving into the holidays. I have divorced parents who are remarried, and then Baxter's parents are together. That's three different families now that we need to go see and spend time with. And we decided that Thanksgiving is a time for one. And so we just rotate through the families, because then that gives us time to rest and regroup and spend time with our kids. And so that is actually another example of a no. So it can even be with family. It could be with kids, friends, and birthday parties. It can be with play dates. All of these things are these little like micro cuts that just wear you down. And there's sort of stressors in your life. And I just think about what's the yes and what's the no. What are you trading? And we just can't be afraid to say no and protect your sanity and your family and your personal time.
Such good advice, and kind of hard to follow sometimes. I had Esther Perel on our podcast a few years ago, and she talked about how she said no to going to all of her son's football games. That was not how she wanted to spend her Saturday. She loved her son. She was a great mom, and she said no to that. And so hearing her gave me permission to say no to things that culturally were like uncomfortable, but yeah, I'm a person too. And so I love my kids, but it doesn't mean I always have to do all of that. So that's good advice. I'm sure our listeners are thinking of other ways they could apply that to their lives. Okay, last question. At Motherly, we believe that motherhood brings out our superpowers. So insights, talents, intuitions, just things about us maybe that we didn't know were inside before we became mothers. So Amber, what do you see as your superpower?
I would like to think that it's love, that I'm able to just make someone feel important and special. I think that that's something that I've been able to see now that I have children, that I can actually make them feel so special and influence how they see themselves and the things that they care about and how they treat others. And then I back that up to this friend or this colleague or this person in passing. Maybe I can actually influence the way that they feel about themselves as well. And so I think what has like kind of started to radiate more from me, hopefully, is love, and me seeing that as a real asset in a way that I didn't see it before I had children.
Such a great example. Amber Venzbach, thank you so much for what you've built, what you shared today, and for joining us on the Motherly Podcast.
Thank you, Liz.
Well, that's it for this episode. Amber, thank you so much for joining us. What a great conversation. And thanks to our listeners for tuning in. We will be back next week with another great guest. You don't want to miss it. The Motherly Podcast is executive produced by Jennifer Bassett. Our senior producer is Marissa Bramwell. Editing is by Joel Edinburgh. Our music is from the Blue Dot Sessions. I'm your host, Liz Tennedy. Thank you so much for listening.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.